Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, titled, Ye Are Fallen From Grace. This is part 2 of 2.
Because true faith involves repentance. So you don't always have to say the word repentance and faith. When you say faith, you're talking biblical faith, it involves repentance. And a Bible-believing Christian should understand that. But we're in days where people are chopping up the Bible so badly that you have to break it down and be that specific. It's the day and age we're living in. The repentant sinner who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ is forgiven, and those adding law are not forgiven, but repentance is not law. But you understand that. Verse 4, read that with me. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And I joked about it earlier, but churches use that as a phrase for losing your salvation. They say, oh, Chad over there got mad. He's working on the house. He slammed a hammer down on his thumb and he said the S word. And he lost his salvation. He's, oh, really? Oh, yeah, Chad's fallen from grace. And they'll use that phrase as though it means you've lost your salvation. When the Bible uses the word, ye are fallen from grace, look closely at what it's saying. It means that you were not saved in the first place. It means that you didn't get it and lose it. It means that you thought you were saved by keeping the law, which means you're not saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
So if you're fallen from grace, it means you've fallen from it. And you haven't fallen. It's not like, another phrase is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. They'll use that. That means you're saved. Now work it out. It doesn't say work for your own salvation. And you can think of this as being like falling short of grace. You have not attained grace. You have stayed stuck in this law. So you're not saved. It doesn't mean anything to do with losing salvation. He's dealing with people in Galatia who are not even saved. And he's dealing with false teachers who are cursed, according to Galatians 1, 6 through 9, because they're preaching a false gospel. Now, Arminians falsely use the phrase falling grace to mean somehow lose your salvation. That's false. And I say Arminians because there's Calvinists and there's Arminians and then there's Bible believers.
Amen.
We're not Calvinist or Arminian. We're Bible believers.
Amen.
And if you don't know what that means, you look that up and do your own research on it. We've talked about it many times here. But the context is about being saved, not losing salvation. So then in verse 5, that's why he ends that little discussion with verse 5. Read that with me. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith, not by works, through the Spirit. That's it. By faith, not by works, through the Spirit. Christian testimony is one of being set free and at liberty from the bondage of sin. And things change, folks. Let me tell you what changes. Real quick, I want to explain this to you. Either you will perform the works that God has preordained that you'll walk in them, or what'll change is God will deal with you as a child. He'll punish you. He'll chastise you.
Yes.
But things are going to change. You're not going to go on in sin and in heresy and nothing change. Either you're going to get that thing right or God's going to deal with you.
Amen.
Amen.
I want Jenny to help me here for a minute. I want to read this. This came in from I'm not going to use the real name of the person who sent this in. She lives in Idaho, and she goes by Far North Weaver on YouTube. I want to share this. Go ahead and read the first
page. I have forgotten much, and I'm thankful for that. I'm an older woman. In my younger years, I was a pagan and knew the occult holidays well, unfortunately. That is the fruit of growing up in the Mormon church. Thank heavens it was only until I was 8. But I left home at the tender age of 14. 60s, 70s, a lot of us kids were sticking out our thumbs and taking off. Those were hard times. But I learned how to cast an astrology chart and other things I would have rather never learned. When I look back, I cringe. The only good thing I got from all of it was a testimony to those that are still caught up in that life. I'm so very grateful.
So you follow that. This girl was raised in the Mormon church till she's 8. And then by the time she's 14, sticking out her thumb, she's talking about hitchhiking, leaving home, running away, getting involved in astrology. Okay, continue.
I gave my life to Jesus Christ in the autumn of 2000. I took everything in my house, took it out to the big fire ring we had in the back area of our rural Alaskan home, and burned everything of that life I lived before. It took me about a week of burning every day to burn it all.
Wow.
A whole wall of books, clothes, ritual crap, artwork, everything that had anything to do with my old ways. And never looked back.
Well, isn't it a shame that Stephen Anderson or one of these guys wasn't there to say, wait, you don't need to repent of sins to be saved. What are you doing repenting? As a matter of fact, they'd probably say, what do you think? You're working your way to heaven? Take that stuff back. Now, they deny doing that, but that's what they preach.
Right.
Go ahead and continue.
My husband was not happy. He had grown up in a hippie house in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I was studying the old King James Version, and I had bought years before in a thrift store all night long for many days, weeks, months. I couldn't get enough of it.
Now, at that time, she wasn't living sinlessly, and she still isn't to this day. But you see the change of heart.
Yeah.
You see that?
Amen. My husband tried to argue with me about the Bible. I wouldn't. Telling him that if he didn't read it, he wouldn't know the blessings in it. 1 year later, he came home from his time off from work up on the Alaskan pipeline. He got down on his knees in front of me. I was sitting on the coffee table. While crying, he gave me his testimony of Jesus Christ. My heart burst open with joy.
Glory to God.
Praise Jesus.
He was out on a frozen tundra, out there in the Alaskan winter wilderness. The Lord revealed himself to my husband. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord's mercy and loving kindness.
Amen. This is the end. Let's read this last part.
I bought Daniel a KJV, and now that Bible is in tatters. He has used it so much.
Amen.
I love it. His birthday is on the 4th of September. He was home from work for that. This year I brought him a Common Man's Authorized King James Version Reference Bible with a lambskin. He loves it. It's a beautiful Bible, but he still takes the old tattered KJV to work though.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He has become the very best husband I could have ever hoped for. He tells the people up at work on the pipeline, I feel like that fella from the movie The Unforgiven, because since I met her, I just ain't like that no more.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Anyways, I appreciate your post and your preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. There's a change. This modern regeneration with no change is a counterfeit version of Christianity. Folks, again, the old preachers predicted this.
Mm-hmm.
The old preachers used to say, there's coming a time when people who profess to be King James Bible believers will stand up and preach a gospel without a change, a regeneration without a change, a salvation without a new birth. That's what's being preached today among fundamental Christians. And listen, do your homework. There are some of the larger fundamental schools and churches who have preached this garbage, and you'll find out that the men who preached it have lost their families. They've gone to prison.
Yep.
Why? Because they've lived in so much sin, thinking they're fine and they're saved in their sin. They practiced what they preached. They had no repentance. God's way results in a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, read that. Therefore, read that with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God Almighty came into you, and he has produced in you a new creature.
Amen. Amen.
It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not just bookkeeping. There's a change made in you. Now, from that point, it is whether or not you're willing to live in that change. And if not, again, things will still change because God's going to punish you. And if you're living in your sin without conviction and chastisement and you claim to be a Christian, I fear for you.
Amen. Rod's
coming. Something's wrong. Either God's coming with chastisement or you're not His child.
Amen.
And that's why you're getting by with it. We see God doing this in creation. How many of you know what a metamorphosis is? How many of you have seen what happens with a butterfly? Well, I got a couple minutes. I want to show you this. As we'll kind of close it up with this. I want you to watch this.
It's impossible to look at a caterpillar turning into a butterfly and not ask how. Their metamorphosis, their life cycle. How did this happen? This astonishing, remarkable transformation.
In a metamorphic insect, what you've got is two body plans. You have to first form one functional body plan, and then you have to switch gears and you have to take and form a new body plan. I am amazed by development when it goes from egg to caterpillar, because it's such an intricate process. But then you have to enter into the chrysalis stage and you have to get it right again. So it's like the problem squared.
You've got to get rid of or digest the caterpillar tissues. They won't work for the adult. In fact, the cells themselves disappear, but then their components are recycled and are turned into a kind of soup out of which the adult structures will be built. It's very carefully engineered. So you got to know where you're going to end up before you start.
It's like a different organism. Transitions have to take place in the heart. Transitions have to take place in the antennae. Transitions have to take place in the reproductive organs.
You have to recreate adult legs, adult antennae, adult eyes. You have to change the shape of the brain and the connections between the antennae and the eyes. You have to reformat the gut so that it switches from eating plant material to eating nectar. You begin to see the depths of the problem. So for evolution to have created this sort of pathway gradually, it would take a miracle.
When you see certain effects in nature, it's your responsibility as an investigator to find the cause that will explain the effect. If you saw a mechanical device of the sophistication of a butterfly, you would not for a moment hesitate to ascribe that to intelligence, because the butterfly is so much more sophisticated, almost beyond our comprehension, than anything that we make. Planning, foresight, artistry, engineering. When you process all the evidence revealed through metamorphosis, and then you ask yourself, in your own experience, what kind of cause could bring about these results? I think the only reasonable answer is an intelligence that transcends the natural world.
Amen. Now you just think about that, what you just saw. First of all, how stupid evolution is. But the Creator that performs that incredible miracle, I wonder how many billions of times a year that happens. I mean, just to see it happen one time is amazing. It happens billions of times a year. It's the same Creator who says that if you will believe on Him, you will be born again.
Amen.
There will be a change. Not of works that you have done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. If you're saved, you've been born again. And the same Creator who's doing all of this has worked in you to produce a change. And if you don't see change in your life, number one, you're the only one to blame.
Amen.
And number two, again, Ask yourself if you're saved. I'm not trying to make anybody here doubt your salvation, folks. If you're saved, you're saved. Mm-hmm. But that security, that peace, only comes if you're really saved.
Amen.
Once you settle this thing, it's done. Don't go back to it. But I know a lot of people have just never settled it. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And if you will stop with your own opinions, stop with your own opinions and start just following the Word of God, you will see your life change. And it's a beautiful life because it ends up, you know what happens? You start out, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, that first little thing that, you know, you see the butterfly comes out of, but at the beginning it's a nasty, slimy looking blob. That's you.
That's right.
You start out this nasty looking, sinful blob. But you know what you end up as? Like Jesus. Real quick. This metamorphosis takes place in our spirit at the new birth and will take place in our bodies at the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. It'll put what you just saw, that thing with the butterfly blows your mind, and what we're about to experience blows that away.
Amen.
Change now in our spirit, changing any moment into our glorified bodies. And that's the question today. Are you a new creature? Do you live looking forward to your new body and eternal life? Or are you all about here and now? You're all about what you can get now, what you can experience now. I want it now. And there are truly saved people who adopt that mindset and shipwreck their entire lives. And only you know where you are on this thing with God. Only you know if you're truly saved. Only you know that you are saved, but you've got the wrong mindset. Only you know whether you need to have a new birth or if you just need a new attitude. But that's what we're presented with here this morning. And if you have any faith in your own works, your own keeping of the law, you're fallen from grace.
Yeah.
Taste grace. Get the real thing. I know I sound like I'm a commercial, but I'm telling you the truth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's not a commercial. That's the psalmist. Amen. Blessed is the man who trusteth in Him. That's it. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. And we thank You that in spite of us, You have saved those of us who will turn to You for salvation. And we thank You that even though we don't deserve it, You're going to make us like Jesus.
Amen. Thank You, Lord.
We're going to be in the presence of the holy angels in a place where there is no time. A place that we cannot even imagine. All because of Your love and Your grace. And Father, just thank You and praise You. And we will go throughout eternity praising You. But we should start now. Right here and now. Telling everybody about Jesus. And praising the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, I pray everyone here this morning have that right attitude. And that we would surrender everything to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I surrender all. our day. Bless this coming week.
God said to Abraham.